You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of TPC. Always our pleasure to bring back Dr. David Duke, former member of the Louisiana State Legislature, former Republican gubernatorial candidate, and Republican candidate for United States Senate out of the state of Louisiana, having won those primaries on the Republican ticket. David Duke, longtime friend of mine, and he is back to talk about the the story of the year, as it were, the coronavirus hysteria, what's really going on. He has covered it very extensively on his radio program with the Rents Radio Network. David, great to have you back.
And well, great to be back, James. Yeah.
Always. Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you, Keith Alexander, my co-host, is in with us as well.
Let me just say this. There seems to be a conservative confederacy on coronavirus. The conservatives think it's a tempest in a teapot. The left think it's the bubonic plague. And the truth, I'm sure, lies somewhere right in the middle, and David Duke is going to pinpoint that for us.
Well, I think the response of the government to this flu epidemic, which we've always had epidemics in the past, but we've never had an epidemic with the number of lives this is taking, because this is not unusual. Just 2 years ago, we had 80,000 lives in the United States of America that were taken by the flu. And that's a fact that was said by Mr. Redfield, who's head of the CDC. I can show anybody that wants to see it from the publication of Associated Press. And the title is 80,000 lives, according to the CDC, or the CDC head. The greatest death toll by the flu in 40 years. And that's still a lot more than what's died so far, but there was no lockdown. There was no destruction of the lives and the homes and the families of 30 million people in terms of unemployment. There was no destruction of the pensions, the retirement funds of people, firemen and policemen, union people. White-collar workers, blue-collar workers, has been destroyed in this country. There was no accumulation of this incredible power of the international corporations, and we've had a complete meltdown of that. We've had a destruction of the middle class on massive levels. We've had millions of people, small businessmen with small plumbing companies or small restaurants or family restaurants or any other sort of company that's going out of business, not being able to pay their bills. And at the same time, the international corporations are being bailed out. And the real losses are not from the big stockholders of Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan. They've made a fortune on this. The big losses have come from those millions upon millions of people who, by their choice or not, by their company or by their union or by their teachers' association or policemen's association, invest their money in the stock market. And those are the people who lost. People at the very top made money. In the stock market, for stocks to go down, one side has to sell, one side has to buy. And the people that have the power are accumulating more power. And the truth is, there's never been an epidemic in American history, never, where the people quarantined were the people who were healthy. And that's exactly what's happening right now. It's the people who are...
People's 401ks have just gone to pot in this, I believe. Don't you, David?
Of course. And we can go through a lot of the different issues of this. First of all, we can go into the lies. And we've had lie after lie after lie. I think part of it might even be something which is really strange. You think, you know, there's something called Trump derangement syndrome. We've all heard of that. I think it's a real phenomenon, even though Trump's disappointed us in many, many ways. His recent action saying that he's going to suspend immigration, legal and illegal, to the United States, sounded really great. It was exciting, and the media was really upset about it. But then we find out the next day that the A1 visas and these visas for people take away the best jobs in America from American citizens. And you think about all the about 30 million people unemployed right now, according to a Pew poll, 43% of Americans say they're either they lost their job, or their hours were cut back, or their pay was docked, their pay was lowered. So there, it's just amazing the devastation that's taken place. And the truth is that we're not even saving any more lives doing it. In fact, if we wanted to save lives, we would have saved the lives of the older and more vulnerable people. They tell you every day how this was a so-called non-discriminatory disease. Now they say it's actually discriminatory against black people. I mean, it's really weird. But they were saying
now it's finally getting attention.
Yeah, well, that's what it said. But it obviously just like there's no real discrimination against black people in college scholarships. In fact, there's a whole bunch of scholarships just for black people. There's no discrimination against blacks who are truly the best qualified in jobs or promotions or scholarships. In fact, most companies have policies of affirmative action putting less qualified in. And the truth is there's no racial discrimination going on. The real people who are suffering right now are middle-class working people or people who are getting older. They have a house, which they own, but they can't afford the insurance. This is before Social Security, obviously. But they're afraid to get sick. They're afraid to go to the emergency room. They're afraid to get help, whereas anybody that's on the welfare system or anybody that's more in that realm is able to go to any emergency room. They don't have to worry about losing their home or something because of the expenses of that. They don't have to worry about that. So everything is always turned upside down. This is not people's lives being cost by the people with money in terms of the rich few people who do something positive for their money. This is really about the taking of lives of many, many millions of people, destroying the lives of people with the dreams of their businesses, their restaurants, their companies, the proprietorships they own or the small companies they own. This is about people losing their jobs in middle-class industries because they want us all to be wage slaves working for an international corporation, a big giant tech company or a big giant whatever, a restaurant chain, that they can fire you if you have the wrong political beliefs. So we can go into some of the depths of the lies, but this whole epidemic, there's nothing different in terms of the lives lost in this epidemic as many different epidemics we had over the last 100 years, over the last million years of our history as a people across Europe and across the world. There's no difference in this. In fact, the truth is that just 2 years ago, 17, 18, I can show the Associated Press article to you, 80,000 people, and we're a long way from that right now. And the truth is we are
keep on talking.
The elderly, and I'll let you go. You got your break, and I'll be back with you.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, our third and final hour. David Duke breaking down the real effects of the so-called pandemic. And we'll get to some hard numbers, some hard data. David Duke really has done a lot of research on this. We're lucky to have him on tonight. We'll be right back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on. Strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, we're back with David Duke, and we're talking about the coronavirus. As we were talking about during the break, there seems to be a lot more panic than pandemic with regard to this whole thing. But one thing I want to ask you about, David, that we were talking about on the phone earlier this week, and then let you and Keith continue on as well. But normally within our circles of commentators and friends and colleagues pulling in a similar direction with regard to our issues, there is at least a semblance of a consensus. I think in the now 16 years I've been on the radio, we don't drift wildly from one another on the most important issues. But with this has been something entirely different. There is no consensus. And not only that, people get physically and emotionally upset and will attack people that they've been working with for years as if you've insulted their mother or their wife if you disagree with them on this. What is going on with some of the people in our ranks who are, frankly, so touchy and so volatile and having bought into this narrative and really attacking those who say, you know, look, guys, there's more here than what the media is reporting. And how could they not know that there wouldn't be?
Well, yeah. First off, I just want to say I disagree with some of the people who've spoken out on PRS and a few other outlets, and some people, really good friends of mine, and who I love them dearly. I think they're really great and dedicated to our people, our heritage. But I think they got this one wrong, and I understand, you know, that everybody's entitled to their opinion as long as they're with us on the main issues, and that's preserving our heritage, our freedom, our traditions, and not having these horrific Zionist wars and not engaging in that. You know, if they have a different opinion than I do about the virus, I will respect them. I will support them in their work for our people. But at the same time, I think they really just haven't got the facts. And because this is not dealing, you know, the media lies to us every day, right, and tells us that race isn't real. It's a social construct. Well, of course, we know that's not true. Every day, the mass media tells us things like, oh, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, right? And then we go off and we send our boys to die for this, and we spend trillions of dollars, and a million people are killed. And we find out later there were no weapons of mass destruction, right? Every day they tell us all these things like this foreign trade is really good for us. Well, it's eroded our businesses. They tell us every day that it's fine to destroy the traditional marriage that we all believe in. They tell us that immigration is a blessing to the country, right? And everything is going to be just fine for us when we're outnumbered and outvoted in our own country. But somehow they think they got it right about this virus. And it could be that leftists are truly concerned about the welfare of America. But I doubt that in terms of this sense, because I've looked into the facts. And the facts are very, very damning about this entire process. Again,
well, if the left is not interested in our welfare, David,
what?
If the left isn't interested in our welfare, what is their motivation if they are pushing this pandemic quarantine?
Well, take a look at it. Aren't they cutting out our freedom? Aren't they, for the first time in this country's history, telling us that our constitutional rights of assembly and freedom of action, they're even telling us we can't even travel. In some states, they're restricting somebody from traveling from their home
to their
church, exactly. I mean, this is something that's teaching us to obey. And it's also ridiculous. Now think about it. Now, in the history, I don't think in the history of the world, but there's been times, you know, when people had smallpox, we quarantined them. When people had measles, and measles has been around a long time, and it's the most contagious disease there is. It's far more contagious than the flu. And by the way, coronavirus is no more contagious and it's no more deadly than the flu that we suffered from two seasons ago. In 2017-18, we lost 80,000 people. That's not what I'm saying. That's the head of the CDC. All right, period. And this 80,000 people that died, right? This is the biggest in 40 years. That's the headline. There was no shutdown of anybody. There's never been a situation. Yeah, before, always before in history, we all always knew that you had to keep the farms going, you had to keep the businesses going, you had to keep the country's industry going, the lumber mills, you know, everything important in our society. And the people had to feed their families. And they didn't have to have the largesse of the government to feed their family because they did that by their work and their genius and their hardship. In fact, in the beginning of the 20th century, 98% of people were self-employed, in effect. You know that. I mean, they were ranchers. They were farmers. 95% of people were living on farms or ranches across the European world. And the others that didn't had small businesses, small stores. There were a few big companies, but they were a tiny percentage. And there wasn't this massive wage gap they have today. And even in war, even in the war between the states, even in the South, where a lot of our boys were off to war, or in the North, where the boys were off to war, business kept going. Farms were kept operating, right, the best they could, right? Stores. People were, you know, taken care of. We had a lot of exploitation after the war, for sure. But never has there been a greater attack on the well-being of our people than the shutdown. So think of it this way. In the history of this country, the history of the world, never, ever have we quarantined the healthy people. We only quarantined the sick people, are those vulnerable people that we know couldn't be exposed to the diseases that were weaker because of their age or their elderly.
Well, we had Typhoid Mary back in the past, but now everybody is Typhoid Mary.
This is not some sort of protection for our people. What they've done is they've put the people who are the least susceptible from dying. And by the way, this disease, the average median age people that die from this disease are 80 years old. 80 years old. The chance, you look at Dr. Ioannidis, the famous doctor and medical researcher and epidemiologist at Stanford. You can also look at Witkowski, a big doctor out of New York, formerly with the Rockefeller Institute, was medical school. And he studied in Europe. He's the biggest modeler of epidemics. He says, well, the way we're fighting this epidemic is all wrong and we're costing lives. You can look at the facts. Here's the facts. In Italy, in the city of New Orleans, which has been very badly hit, in New York, in Italy, 99% of people who died, right, had underlying serious illnesses. Right? And again, the median age was 80 years old. Median age is 80 years old in New York. It's 80 years old in New Orleans. And the people that are younger that are dying have very serious underlying diseases. The truth is, people over 70, over 65, for instance, are 70, over 70% of the people who die. People 80 years old is the median age. So half the people dying are over 80. The life expectancy in this country for a male is 76 years old. This is 80 years old is the median age. That's 4 years over, you know, the life, typical life expectancy.
It's not cutting down people in the prime of life, in other words.
Yes, and the people that are dying, and we don't want anybody to die, especially not our grandmothers and grandfathers and fathers and mothers and older brothers and sisters and older people or people that are sick. We don't want that. But the way you save those lives, the way you save those lives is by focusing on them and making sure the people in the nursing homes and the veterans homes and retirement homes, right, assisted living homes, that they're safe. Instead, we had New York City, and Cuomo is one of the big advocates of the lockdown, of course, and Democratic Party, as well as a lot of Republicans today, and unfortunately some of our people. And guess what Cuomo did? Cuomo literally said that a nursing home, he and his Jewish head of the health services for New York, said that a nursing home could not refuse to take in a COVID-19 positive person into the nursing homes. Now, people in nursing homes, these are the people that die from the epidemic. These are people that if they get this epidemic, they have a good chance of dying, right? So we're not protecting the elderly. And if we stop 99% of people who are dying who have underlying diseases, if we protect them, the death rate goes down 99%, right? So it wouldn't even be an issue in this country.
Hold on right there, David Duke, James Edwards, Keith Alexander. The Political Cesspool. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says a number of hospitalizations in his state has fallen to the lowest level in 21 days. The governor also announced a new way he'll begin testing.
We're going to authorize all the independent pharmacists in the state to be collection sites for testing. I assume, and my guess, and my educated guess, is that independent pharmacists will take us up on this.
New York has started testing healthcare workers for coronavirus antibodies and will do the same next week with transitive law enforcement workers, doctors, nurses, and other employees at four New York City hospitals that have handled high volumes of coronavirus patients and will be the first tested. Georgia is now one of the states that's beginning to reopen businesses. Oklahoma and Alaska are also starting to ease their restrictions. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I've had a lot of really great days back to back, which has been a huge blessing. Even my doctor told me, because they asked me to bring everything in that I take on a daily basis. He was very encouraged by seeing what I was taking, and he said he didn't care how many I had. And he said it's food. And the form that it's in was something that he was very, because he's an avid learner, and he's always researching, and he's always excited to see new things. And he told me this would be good. This will help you immensely with the nutrition that you need.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
A federal court in California is now ordering the release of migrant children. USA Radio's John Hunt has the story.
A federal judge said in a ruling that the Trump administration must make every effort to promptly and safely release children. Los Angeles-based U.S. District Judge Dolly G said the administration was again violating a longstanding agreement that generally compels the government to release migrant children detained at the border within 20 days. Plaintiffs represented by the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law alleged the coronavirus crisis has caused further delays in the mandated release of migrant children who could face increased risks of exposure in government-funded detention. Attorney Peter Shea said by email, this court order could very well prevent hundreds of children from becoming seriously ill with COVID-19 infections and even save some children's lives. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we are back. And folks, David Duke has been covering this topic extensively, 5 days a week on the Rinse Radio Network. Go to davidduke.com to read his articles and to catch up on the many broadcasts he's done over the course of the last couple of months, along with Dr. Patrick Slattery and other invited guests, davidduke.com. I wanted to ask you quickly. I mean, everything we're talking about is important. It's very wide-ranging. You could pick.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, you could pick. No. It's not. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily that it's complicated. It's just that there's so many wide-ranging aspects of it, and any one of them you could spend an hour on. So it's hard.
It's multifaceted.
Right. It's hard to do it. But I do want to ask you this very quickly. A vaccine. Sure. I mean, they are rushing to create a vaccine for this. Is that just a money grab, or is that something?
And Bill and Melinda Gates are going to produce a vaccine.
Is it a money grab, or is it something that, perhaps is going to make us more docile and dysgenic?
Let's make it sense. Let's make some sense out of this, okay? First off, the big pharma is one of the most evil productions in the history of the world. Big pharma. Robs us every day, and the biggest aspect that they make money on today is vaccines, because the individual vaccine can cost $300 to $1,000, and they could give a round of 20 to like all the military people, all the people in the government. A government can order vaccines. A government can kind of force companies to vaccinate their people. They can force nurses and doctors to take the vaccines. They can just enforce teachers to do it. They can say to students, you've got to be vaccinated to go to school. So this is the most amazing moneymaker because, you know, a pharmaceutical company, it takes about 13 years to develop a drug by the time they do the testing and the double blind and all that stuff. So a pharmaceutical company, and then there's only 7 years before the patent runs out. And by the way, the vaccine companies even have a special court that can't even be sued if they're in trouble. Now, the idea of making a vaccine for this virus is far worse than the other flus, and it's far worse than a lot of diseases. They can make a vaccine for measles, for mumps, right? For chickenpox, they can make a vaccine for just all sorts of
whooping cough,
obviously. But they can give you a vaccine if you're bit by a rabid dog, and you won't get rabies. Thank God, right? But the thing about this is the coronavirus is like the cold, and they've not been able to really do a good vaccine for SARS-1 or for the SARS and for these SARS COVID viruses, coronavirus, because it's very difficult. And they've tried to make vaccines for different coronaviruses, but when they've gone into animal testing, they couldn't even get to the human testing because the humans were dying more when they were just into the disease after the vaccine. A lot of people believe it's because it messes up the immune system, and the virus in effect hijacks the immune system with this very acute, you know, immune response called SARS. And so anyway, that's getting complicated again. I don't mean to do that, but There's no question that they couldn't even have a vaccine ready for next winter. They're not going to do that. And if they did, they would put millions of people at risk. But God and his beautiful nature that he made, we've always had viruses. We've got literally trillions of these small, tiny viruses that are even smaller than a cell in our bodies at any time. And we have learned to combat these viruses. That's our immune system. And what happens is this virus, for instance, it affects when it goes to 80% of people have this virus. You can't even hardly tell you have the virus. It's very mild and they make antibodies, right? But when the mass people who are healthy and young, when they get the virus, it creates what's called a herd immunity. So what happens is the virus must expand to other human beings. If it doesn't, it dies because it takes to spread to other human beings for the virus to live, you see, and to replicate. the virus hijacks the cell, if people understand that, but that's what it does. So if people become immune because they've had the disease for a while, then they develop an immunity and the virus dies out on its own. The 80,000 people that died from the virus in 2017-18, they didn't have it. There was no new wave. It didn't come back the next winter. In fact, they had a lower death rate than usual. This is the normal way to do it. But when you do this thing of flattening the curve, what you're doing is you're not getting the level of immunity to it that you need to make the disease die out. So that ultimately puts more people at risk, including our elderly. So back to the story, the original story they told us, the media, of course, they'd never lie to us, right? They never lied to us about the Iraq war. They never lied to us about immigration. They never lied to us about any of this stuff, right? But they told us that this disease was going to take 2.2 million lives. Even Fauci went along with this, 2.2 million lives in America. It's not. They told us this disease was much more deadly than any flu. Now that we're studying this virus and they're studying groups of population, like polling, they're giving people the antibody test, they find out that, for instance, in California, in a whole county where you had a series of deaths from this epidemic, right? They found out that there were 50 to 80 times more people who had the antibodies, in other words, who had the virus before than previously thought. So the case numbers of the people with coronavirus are tiny because they're the ones that simply go to hospital. 80% have no symptoms. They don't even go to the doctor. So what that means is it makes it seem like 3% or 4% or 5% of the people are dying from this virus. And they also told us that everybody could die from this virus. It's just not true. It's overwhelmingly killing old people and people with conditions, and it's not any more deadly. It's basically the last three studies they did show that it killed about 0.1% of the population. And by the way, if you look at the flu from 2017, which I keep giving examples for that, and the testimony of the CDC head, and he's still the CDC head, you had something like 80,000 people die. Now, that flu, they said, killed 0.1% of the people who got that flu. That's the normal flu epidemic, right? That's a fact, no doubt about it. What that would mean, if you took 80,000 people and you multiplied it by 1,000, which would be 0.1%, so 80,000 people, but you know, if you make it so if you make that into 0.1%, right? Of the people, you know, of the people who got the virus, that means we had 80 million cases of that flu in America. 80 million. They're telling us we've got 700,000 cases or 800,000 cases now. It's not true. It's all a lie. This thing is something that they're using for one thing. I think they really believe that the only way they can get Trump out is destroy the economy, and they hate him because he's talked about immigration. Because he's talked about fair trade instead of free trade, because he said we could say Merry Christmas again, because he's defended so many different things, and they're deranged, and they really are willing, even Maher, Bill Maher, you know, the atheist Jewish leftist, right? Even he said,
of course,
that even if it took a depression to get Trump out of office, he's for it. He knows it'll hurt a lot of people. He said, these people are quite evil. And the way to protect old people, and that's the people who are dying, is by protecting old people, by having them to be isolated, sending health people to every nursing home, contact everybody with a prior serious health condition. Those are the people who need to stay home from work. Those are the people who need
to protect. David, yeah. Tell us something about the depression, you know, the consequences, which is much worse than the disease. And they would be the next Herbert Hoover running at the depth of a depression for president.
This is the worst damage to the economy. And this is going to cost, by the way, this depression and this poverty and this lack of work and the destruction of even our medical care system, because that's what they're doing by doing all this. Even the rest of the hospitals are empty now, and people aren't going to hospital for real heart attacks and real kidney failure and really, you know, they have a burst appendix for instance. They're not going, and a lot of people are dying. And if you think of the coronavirus, it is a tiny fraction of 1% of all the deaths from diseases in the world, and yet this is getting all the focus, and they're using that to destroy our economy. That destroys lives. Every 1% increase in unemployment causes a 1% increase in suicide. There are more suicides in America. There's twice as many suicides in America right now, right? Right now, than you're going to have from this epidemic. And then you have heart disease, you have all these other things. And so what they're doing is they're using this fear campaign, right, to support a system where they want to shut down the independent businessman. They want to shut down the American working people. They don't want small companies. They want everybody to work for big companies. Goldman Sachs has gotten rich out of the tanking of the stock market, and I can prove that with the articles. Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan have all gotten rich. I got a headline from the CNBC saying Goldman Sachs, you know, has made a mint while the stock market has tanked. It's the average person with pension funds. That's who loses when the stock market goes down 30%.
Hold on right there, my friend. We got one more segment. We're going to wrap it up next.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay. Again, so much to cover with this. So many different aspects. We were talking about the economic aspects, the fact of the vaccine, there has been some good that has come of this. There has been some good that has come of this. I mean, the borders are closed. Everybody's a homeschooling family now. Kids are saved, safe right now, at least, from the perversions of
professional
of public
sports
school.
Have been shut down.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, that's all good, but the bad is just tens of millions now of Americans just in a month or two. Now unemployed, and we know that a lot of American families live paycheck to paycheck, the vast majority, in fact, paycheck to paycheck. 1,000 unemployed for every death. That is a staggering statistic, a staggering statistic. 1,000 people have gone unemployed for every one death. Every life is sacred. We hate that anyone's died, but putting tens of millions on the unemployment rolls, businesses that may never reopen, and, you know, only now are we beginning to try to jumpstart the economy in some of these states. Right. Still a long, long way to go.
An unprecedented depression is
coming
on.
You've got the media saying this is going to continue into the winter, and the winter is going to be worse than we've experienced so far, and the media just sensational. This whole thing, man, you can go a lot of different directions.
There's going to be mass starvation.
Be the Trump winner.
If this continues, there'll be mass starvation in the United States. There'll be massive total poverty, as it is right now, as it was going right now. The likelihood is that millions of people will lose their homes. Period. Millions of already about 30, almost 30 million people now have lost their jobs, according to a Pew poll. Again, 43% have either lost their job, the hours cut back or the pay cut back, so they can't even afford to make the payments for their home. They can't afford the payments what they need for their heater or their air conditioner or, you know, whatever, or their kids' tuition if they're trying to send them to private school. You know, the whole thing is just so twisted and turned upside down. And you're right. Every life is valuable. And I'm the first one to say that we've got to protect the elderly. We've got to be responsible to them. No question about it. Right. But the way you be responsible to the elderly is you take the entire focus. You take a fraction of the money that you're spending to destroy the industry. You know, the production shut down, you know, 30 or 40, 50% of the production of the United States of America. Right. And you take a fraction of that money and you concentrate on making sure that the elderly are social distance, that they're protected, that they're defended, that they make sure that nobody goes into those nursing homes. So are the elderly don't have to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, but guess what, David? The elderly aren't working. They're not losing their jobs. That's where all the focus ought to be, like you said, and it wouldn't have that effect on the employment.
Of course, my daddy worked to about 84, but you're right. I mean, for the most part, elderly aren't working, right? So, you know, I'm 70. I'm still working, you know? So James, you're about 75, aren't you, James? I mean,
That's right. Getting older every day, that's for sure.
We feel like it, don't we? Because we've been through so many things in our life when you're standing up for the truth, that's for sure. But let's just take a look at a couple of things, for instance. So if I ask the average person, you know, every day they've got these huge numbers, you know, like, and then, by the way, they've really gone down. The last couple of days, it was like 2,000 a day. And they'll say something like, this is bigger than 9/11. But the fact is we lose far more people from heart disease, far more people from diabetes, far more people from cancer. And all of these things are man-made diseases, by the way, because of the change in diet and the sick, toxic things they have in the food and the way they teach us and what the foods that are promoted by the big companies, right? And also Big Pharma does a lot of damage to this country. Look at the drug epidemic. Tucker Carlson mentioned it, the Sackler family, right? They caused an epidemic. It killed 68,000 people last night, a drug epidemic. And these are decent people. They weren't going out looking for a high. They were given drugs because of the pain they had, the injuries that they had at work, mainly working people, and especially in hard-hit states like West Virginia. 68,000 people died. And that's just from diet. That's not talking about the people that damaged kidneys, damaged lives, that lost their jobs. That destroyed their families and caused all the other issues. 500,000 people in the last few years, but there was no big deal about that. How about abortion? How many abortions are there a year in America? Do either of you know?
Well, I don't know the exact number. I know abortion deaths since January 1st is well over 10 million globally.
Well, yeah, and globally. In America, there's well over 600,000 abortions every year. Now, these are kids, and a lot of these kids are not even just the first trimester, but they would have a whole lifetime ahead of them, and they're aborted they're killed before they even have a chance. And they, and if these kids weren't killed, you'd have many, many years of life. But 76 is the average age for the male. 84, I think, is the average age for the female in America. And that's life. The people that are dying in this epidemic, and we don't want anybody to die, the average age is 80, right? 80. So, I mean, I'm talking about the median age. So half the people that die are over 80. They've had a, they've lived, right? And, they, and by the way, a lot of them aren't dying from this disease.
Well, Dave, David, I just want to interject this very quickly, since we're on the topic of health and medicine and, and life expectancies and all of this. I took my vaccines as a kid. You know, vaccines certainly eradicated polio and other things. But I think a lot has changed even since the early 80s. Do you trust the pharmaceutical companies that will be making this vaccine?
No,
and would you take
it? I'll give an example. When we had the epidemic, and this is the same way it's always going to be, it's always going to be this way except for certain diseases where we've made a pretty effective vaccine for the measles, for those that want to take it. People shouldn't be forced to take it. But you're going to get enough people to take it where you have an immunity, because we even don't want the smaller number of cases for herd immunity. But measles is an incredibly destructive disease, and it's massively more contagious than any of this stuff. We now know that this disease, and there's been lots of studies about it, and we know this because we know the numbers of infected and we know the death rate and everything. This is not any more deadly disease than the typical flus we've had, right? So this whole, the whole story about this is wrong. It is wrong. Now, older people can be quarantined. They can be helped. We could send out health inspectors to every one of these nursing homes. And when they have a nursing home and somebody comes in there who is sick, right, and breaks the law, or our employees are not clean, right, and they do this, and if they have a nursing home, they should be inspected. They should be tested, the people in the home, the people who work there. In fact, this disease was spread more because of the fact that the media told all Americans that everybody could die from this disease. This disease didn't discriminate. It can, and they always showed you young people that died. They usually don't show a full picture of them because usually they're obese. That's associated with the disease, underlying diseases. It can kill anybody. It doesn't kill anybody. It hardly ever kills kids four years old to 17 years old. You know, the death rate under 65 is absolutely negligible, you know, and it's far, far, you know, the regular flu kills 30, 40,000 a year, right? We've got 50,000 now, right? But why is that? One reason why it is because we told people that this could kill you. You got to watch out. So when people got slightest symptoms of this, they said, oh, this is not like the flu. I'm liable to die for that. You don't think you're going to die from the flu, a young person or a medium-aged person, but you're contagious. So what do? You go to the doctor. And in the early days of this epidemic, we had the doctor rooms, the doctor providers were jammed. The hospitals were jammed. Everybody wanted to get a test. So the people who were sick, right, from this early epidemic were going in and they end up infected. And most, half of the medical personnel, it's believed in most hospitals. I talked to friends of mine at Ochsner, it's a major hospital. And a lot of these people at Ochsner Hospital told us, well, we shouldn't even test because it's everybody. Everybody all the doctors have it. All the nurses have it. All the orderlies have it. You know, it's just too late for that. I mean, literally, I've heard this again and again and again, right? And now nobody goes to the hospitals because they know they might die. And so this, in effect, contributed to that. And if we would have focused on protecting the people who die from the disease, it's kind of sensible, isn't it? When you think that 99% of the victims, people that died, had underlying conditions, and 80 years old was the median age. It seems like we should have taken those people and made sure that they were socially isolated, protected, taken care of, right? If they were at home, we should go do their grocery shopping, right? And then if the disease, what happens to a disease this way, when it goes, ripples through the society like the flu has done for thousands of years, right? Ripples through society. It doesn't kill most people because most people are very young anyway, right? But because of the fact that it goes so fast, it doesn't get to all the older people because a lot of the older people are going to be separate or whatever. When you delay a disease, you're making the chances that you encounter somebody who's infected a lot greater. So when it comes to a certain percent, 50, 60% of the people get the virus and they recover from it fine, sometimes very little symptoms, right? They now have immunity. And when most of the people have immunity to the disease, then the disease can't reproduce because they have to have people they can infect, right, who are not immune for the disease to reproduce. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. And, folks, you can learn more at davidduke.com. He's talking about this literally every day, writing about it. Great stuff, all fact-based. He does his research. That's why he's on tonight. David, we love you, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
I like all the people out there, even people that believe this is a real thing. I can tell you this problem, the disease. We used to say, Trump said, that we don't want a cure to be worse than disease. The truth is, the disease, you know, the real disease is the way they're treating this disease by destroying our economy and destroying so many millions of lives. It's going to cause...
Thanks, buddy. I agree with you. David Duke, everybody.